So hi everybody, it's Michelle. This is June 25th, 2020. And this is our last call in the Loving Kindness series. And interestingly, for those who were here last week, we were doing the meta meditation, actually teaching you how to go through from person to person and enact this in your life. And I know a lot of you are doing this right now. You've built it into your life as a practice, either a few times a week, or you've tried it out, or you're doing it every day. So a lot of comments in and around the meta meditation. I'm so glad. And then the screen froze right at the end of the last calls. Right? So, and there's a note from Mary Kay said that I didn't actually know that it happened. So I was meditating for a half an hour. So I hope and trust that was a beautiful, beautiful meditation. And so I decided that because that happened, you can go back and use that over and over again, right? And it evidently drifts off into silence. So perfect. You could use it. You can use that recording for as long or as short as you want, that meta meditation. I think we got to the enemy. We just didn't get to all beings everywhere. So you missed the last part. I had my eyes closed. I didn't know it stopped. I saw y'all, y'all were frozen. You know, everything happens for a reason, because we would not be starting today with a meta meditation because we did that last time. We didn't get through all the way through the meta meditation last time. So it's where we're going to open this call. We're going to start here because it's a really, really important practice for our companies, for our lives. And just a reminder of where we're at just before we go into the meta meditation. So we're going to do a version of it today as we begin. Where we are in the Loving Kindness series. So we began, this is our last call in this series, where we began the series, am I coming from love or fear? Am I coming from love or fear? And it's happening much more moment to moment than we think. And what choice am I making for my company? What choice am I making for my life? How do we actually do that? We can go Google it, but how do we actually do it? And it makes a huge difference in the company that we're even going to create, in how we're going to relate to our team, or where we think we can have a team, how we're going to relate to the people in front of us when we're speaking, and so on. So then, well, if it's foundational in more ways than we think for our companies, how do we do it? That led us to the second call about the meta meditation. It's like, let's unplug anger and hatred and create, and that all is pushing away, and create a very different foundation for our lives in ways that I know many of you have been taking up. And it's often invisible. We don't even notice it, but that voice inside us, that editor, that inner story starts to shift and change in ways that we won't even be tracking on. It doesn't matter. This practice is hugely powerful, and it changes the ways we interact at all kinds of levels of our company. And one of the stories about the meta meditation that I enjoy is somebody who had a business partner, and it was very acrimonious. They were really at odds with each other. And that became that person's difficult person in the meta meditation. So they said it, you know, those words of loving kindness over and over, didn't notice any effect. All he did was walk in the room and say hi. And the guy went, who are you? And what happened to you? And all the barriers that had been there with no effort, nothing different, nothing, just broke down. Just because of this internal practice of meta meditation, hugely powerful. I mean, this sometimes it feels like, well, we're off here in the inner world, Michelle. What about these tactical things I need to do in my company? Remember Jack Canfield, 1 hour of work in the inner world, 7 hours of work in the outer world. Am I working too hard? So it's highly tactical. It's highly implementable, the meta meditation. So then we talked about in the next week, well, what is the meta meditation even doing for us? This is the way that I think about it. One of the things it's doing is bringing beauty back into our world. Because instead of anger and hatred and delusion and pushing away and crazy weird stuff that happens inside of us, and there's a lot of that going on in the world right now, make sense? A lot of people pushing out a lot of things, a lot of people, just stuff going on out there in the world, right? What the meta meditation allows us to do, so we'll actually practice it in a few minutes, but I wanted to remind you of the context of it. What the meta meditation allows us to do is see with different eyes. When we can actually go from ourselves first, in the West, we don't tend to do that. It's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself. We watch entrepreneurs doing this all the time. Any entrepreneur who's working 120 hours a week, they are not getting the foundational principle of this series. Love and kindness for myself first. I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to sacrifice my health. I don't matter. Only the world matters. If you've heard that, if you've heard the world saying that in some ways, or even entrepreneurs, you got to go, you got to get to, it doesn't matter if you, right? it comes in very different forms, but if you've heard that message out there for ourselves and what we're supposed to do, or for the how entrepreneurship is supposed to work, if you're hearing that that message is part of the stories that we live in that are not very constructive for us, raise your hand. Do you get that? The world is telling us, like we, I don't matter because, how do we get there from there? Can't. Loving kindness meditation starts for ourselves. So let it be easy. Sometimes that's hard, but let it be easy. Let it be that foundation. And then from there, the loved one. And we, Steve, I don't know if you got to go back to the recording. Thank you. Great question. I answered it. If you say, you know, we haven't got to the, yeah. Good. Okay. So the answer helped. Good. So a loved one, not a romantic partner, one loved one, because it's the energetic will ripple out, you know, a loved one, a neutral person, a difficult person, and then the world at large. And what this does, when I can start there where it's easy and then go out to the enemy, for instance, traditionally known as the enemy, people play those roles in our lives in all kinds of way. An audience that doesn't laugh at our jokes, they've become the enemy. Do you get it? Somebody who says the wrong thing that I don't like in a strategy session. Somebody who doesn't want me to come and speak for them, even though I seem to be the perfect person. We're getting along. And then they say, oh, actually, you can't come. All of a sudden, they can play that role of the enemy for us. It's like, what do you mean? What was all this pushing? When we can train ourselves internally to relate first in where it's easy and then where it's harder, how much changes in how we react when we're teaching, when we're working with our clients, when we are telling our, you know, when our family reacts, like, what do you mean you can't tell me, when, like in Mexico, right? Mexico, no, what do you mean you can't tell me when the meals are, you know? In that moment, and that might or might not have happened to you, right? But let's say it was something like that. They're acting traditionally as the enemy. We experience them energetically like that in the moment, but we've trained ourselves to react quite differently to that, you know? So then they, or somebody cuts us off in traffic, you know? Now we're starting to drive a little more, at least in my city, right? And we go, what, you stupid idiot, blah, blah, blah. And that's the habit that we're creating. Or they cut us off in traffic and this is what happens to me. Does it happen every time? No. Does it happen way more automatically than it used to? Absolutely. Somebody cuts me off in traffic and the automatic reaction to me is, may you be safe. This is what I've been saying it for so long, right? They must be in a hurry. Something must be off for them if they're cutting people off in traffic and may you be safe. Like, traditionally the enemy, right? It comes up unbidden in me. I don't try to make that happen. I don't intentionally do it. Somebody cuts me off and I may be safe. And then something shifts inside me. And that, so the whole of our lives gets experienced differently. And we have a lot more energy for what it is we're doing. Because when somebody cuts me off in traffic and I'm all of a sudden like this flash of anger, who knows that anger and those other kinds of emotions, like they drain energy like nobody's business. If you have noticed that in your own life, raise your hand. Yes, that one moment transforms what I can do as an entrepreneur, because I've transformed that moment from a something that's just drained my energy and then made me feel bad about myself. Oh, I shouldn't be angry, blah, 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 all that stuff, like all these old stories to may you be safe and loving kindness has developed in me at another level. And then I go from that, maybe I'm rushing to some live events are happening now again. So maybe I'm in a rush because I'm late for a speaking engagement. Somebody cuts me off in traffic and I say, may I be safe? And I show up differently when I'm speaking. This whole series is imminently practical, imminently doable, and foundationally shifting for our lives and our companies. And it's allowing me to see beauty in that person, for instance, right? They're cutting me off in traffic, but my first thought is, may you be safe. The person says something I don't like in a strategy session. May you be safe. May you be well. And these are palpable. These are felt things that people will know. And their practices is not just like, hey, I worked my arm once. And now like I went to the gym once and I worked my bicep once. Now it should be good, right? No, it's a practice, right? My arms are not going to get any stronger unless I practice. It's a practice. So it allows me, and we talked about seeing beauty. Right? Do you remember that from, that was in the third call, Vanda Scarvelli, Awakening the Spine. I read to you about beauty and love. They're connected. When I'm in love with the world, when I'm in love with my life, I just tend to see beauty all around. And I can cultivate that from the other end. I start by seeing beauty and the loving kindness arises in me. So I just want to add one other little piece about that because it's going to dovetail with what we're going to be doing today. So the meta meditation allows us to see beauty, but we can go there directly. and start seeing beauty in the world around us. Who's doing that these days? Sometimes, whether it's COVID or Black Lives Matter or lockdown or getting out of or whatever it is, how are we focused on that thing that's in front of us? Let's say you're an activist and you've been to every protest of Black Lives Matter, but am I coming from love or fear? Am I coming from hatred and delusion, or am I coming from my vision of a better world? Am I coming from that the entire world be safe and may we all be safe together? That action can have a very different result depending on how I do it, right? So then last week, actually, let me go to this first, and then we'll go to the meditation. I thought I was going to start with it, but just some background to remind you where we've been and how this all hangs together. So last week was the anniversary, just so happens, by the way, it's the anniversary of my man's funeral today. I didn't do that on purpose, but the last call was the anniversary of his death. And this year, more than ever, I told you that last time, if you were on last week's call, you know, it hit me more this year than ever before. I don't know why. It's been 4 years. Well, I do know why. Black Lives Matter, I think, is making an energetic difference in me. But what I did last call, if you were on it, man, that was a really powerful call. Mary Kay said, there are things that, I love what Mary Kay said partway through that call. She said, there are things that could have stopped me in my company that are not going to stop me now. If you listen to the surface of that call, it'll sound really disjointed and weird. And it's really easy to miss the point of that call. But I know that those who were there, I know you were hearing it. I know that it's enacted in those, or it's embodied in those words of Mary Kay. Wow, things aren't going to stop me now. Because sometimes we don't have much loving kindness for ourselves. Or we think we're always supposed to be, people present this picture perfect world out there. Hey, I'm fine. Hey, I'm like, it's a happy face on empty gas cage. This is inside the party. I didn't do that when I went to speak for eWomen on Thursday. I can easily button things up together and present. I'm a practice presenter. I could have done that. I did something different for you on Tuesday that I've never done before, because I think that when you have the ears to hear, it frees up everything for your company. It was vulnerable. It was real. And if you listen for what was actually going on in that call, it can free up a whole bunch for you in your company around loving kindness for self, around all is well of wherever you are. I just let you see what was going on inside me. And I wasn't worried that was going on inside me. It's like there's an ebb and flow of things, and it's all as well, embracing it all, loving kindness for that moment of showing you pieces of how I run my company and my life, because I trust you guys and this inside the party, right? And then beauty. I want to connect it back with beauty and read you another piece from Vanda Scarbelli. I didn't share this with you last time, but then where is it that we can see beauty? Well, sometimes we don't even see it or feel it in ourselves. I told that story about the cookie, right? And the first person in this, it was in around Wendy and how Wendy arrived. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, right? Wendy, no, see the beauty in you. Wendy came in apologizing for something. What? I don't even remember, right? But I remember the energetic of it. Like the first woman in this community who came in with cookies at my door and said, oh, Michelle, these cookies are lousy. I'm so sorry. Not seeing the beauty in the cookies or herself. This matters moment by moment. I said, go back and do it again. Hey, Michelle, here's some beautiful, not from a wrong place, not from a not owned place, but owning the beauty in the cookies. And if we can't own the beauty in the cookies, how are we going to own the beauty in the thing that we're offering, for instance? Hey, these cookies are subpar and my cooking is awful and I'm sorry I didn't show up on time. And now I'm going to say that this thing that I'm doing is the best thing to slice bread, not energetically aligned. I see beauty everywhere. I train myself to do that. Not happy face on empty gas gauge. So where can we find this beauty? And this again is from Vanda Scarbelli. This is, she said, love is beauty. Beauty is love, right in the middle of yoga. She says, where is beauty? And here's how beauty connects with story too. So I want to give you one more piece about beauty. And then we will, like I said, we will get to the meta meditation because I want to finish it off for you. She says, beauty is not only in the spectacular glow of a sunset. There's so many places to look for it. To notice it. In the delightful face of a child, in the incredible structure of a flower, in the joy of bright colors, in the shape of a sculpture, in the words of a poem. How many of these things have you noticed today? It's a moment by moment thing. Have you noticed the beauty of your curtains? Have you noticed the beauty of the person who lives with you? Have you noticed the beauty of your hair today or whatever it is? I don't know. It's a practice. So beauty is not only in the spectacular glow of a sunset, in the delightful face of a child, in the incredible structure of a flower, in the joy of bright colors, in the shape of a sculpture, in the words of a poem, in the voice of a song, in the notes of a symphony. There's beauty also in the acknowledgement and expression of a feeling, in the logical process of thinking, in the discovery of a truth, in the realization of harmony, in the astonishment arising from observing the perfection with which a tree or a plant is put together, in the absence of fear, not in courage, courage being the opposite of fear, therefore reaction, in the absence of noise outside and inside us, in the violence of the wind, or in the fury of a storm. Beauty brings us back to that state of vulnerability, innocence, and abandon in which, like a child, we are taken by the hand to disclose the kingdom of wonders and marvels, thus putting us in touch with nature, where the miracle of existence is renewed each day. We need beauty around us. Beauty is like a perfume, impalpable, but yet so very strong. Beauty is the essence of life. Its feeling pushes the artist to create, opens the heart to love, leads the brain to clarify, invites the mind to comprehend, and brings the body to participate. You find yourself in beauty, unexpectedly absorbed by beauty. I think of all the things that I teach all year long, this is probably the one that I most kind of push away. I go, beauty, yeah, okay, got it. What else? Weird, because I'm so about creativity. Woman, okay, but that's kind of nice. Like some part of me will disown it and go, that's a fluff. Yeah, I got it. Okay, I already got it. What else? But it is such an important touchstone. When things are humming in my company and my life, I see beauty everywhere. I can't help it. When things are not humming, or I think they're not, in my company or in a conversation or in my life or whatever it is, the world looks gray. I don't have to just observe that that's a connection. I can intentionally use it. I can point the arrow in the other direction. I start with beauty. You get it? I start by seeing beauty everywhere, and all of a sudden I'm going to see what's working in my company. I'm going to focus on other things. I'm going to notice what actually is working. I'm going to find those next level ideas, which I just did this morning in the company. We're going to make a major, we're doing a whole bunch of major changes. There's like, Carly, you know some of this, like there's massive, huge shifts. Yeah, I know, it's really exciting. Huge up-leveling and huge shifts coming. I'm so excited about it. And last night when I went to bed, I was kind of out of sorts. I went to bed about midnight. I couldn't quite sleep. And then I checked on my calendar. I was like, oh, it's the anniversary of Shelley's funeral. That's why. And then I was fine. That's why it was happening. Oh, well, it's fine. All is well. I can love this moment too. And then because I just let that go really quickly, it's all these trainings all put together, right? Then in the morning, I woke up with this profound new idea that Carly doesn't even know about yet for the company and the next level that was born out of seeing the beauty again, because I'm using all these things. I use all the things that we talk about here. Every single one of them makes the company move forward so much quicker, makes my life feel so much better, makes it easier when there's moments that don't feel right, so that I don't leak energy. It all works synergistically together. Okay, so I wanted to do just that brief drawing together of the threads. It was going to be later in the call, but this is how it came up. This is how it is, right? And so, and then we'll do the meta meditation. But I want to just close out this section for a moment, because what is it that you heard? What's your aha? What's opening for you now? From that opening piece, it's a whirlwind tour. This does not replace all the calls and the training that we've done before. Just hearing it in a moment in seed version does not replace energetically what we did, but it will remind you of it and bring the threads together. What is it that you heard for you? Not does this apply, but how does this apply to me? What I focus on expands. What's the beauty that you just saw in this? It's another instance of that training. It's like, well, yeah, you know, there weren't any ahs there. There was a new ah though, right? Or, hey, I know there was an aha because somebody else will have had one, and I see that there's beauty in that, and I don't even have to manufacture an aha because somebody else will come to one, and that will ignite another aha in me. Do you see that I'm seeing the beauty in this moment right here? It's a trained way of being, and it has to do with the ahas that come to us or don't, to name one other application, all right? So let's do a round of what's opening for you now. A quick aha, one or two or three words, not more than a sentence. So much I want to share with you today. I just need a place to write it down. Okay, go ahead. Dottie, you're in my upper left-hand corner. One thing that you heard, one or two or three words, not more than a sentence.
Seeing the beauty. I'm not where I want to be in my business at all.
Stop. But... Oh, wait. That sentence was well organized because that was put in brackets and then the but is going to take over from that. So keep going. That was lovely. Could you hear that? I wanted to stop her. It's like, oh, don't go there if we're talking about beauty. But it's no problem because what Dottie just did is like, well, whatever about that, because whatever she's going to say next is going to be empowering. Can you hear it? It's right. The beauty is right in the structure of Dottie's sentence. So I interrupted her wrongly, except it's a good teaching point. Dottie, well done. Keep going.
But I'm seeing beauty everywhere. And I'm so grateful and happy.
And we know that's true, don't we? Those are aligned words. And again, the difference between the love her too, seeing beauty in the earlier version of Dottie, and then the transformation that's happened here is fantastic. And Dottie, you were such a touchstone for this beauty teaching too, because it's like, I think of Dottie going like, will you guys just listen again? Because I'm right. She is seeing the beauty in everyone around. It's infectious, it's contagious, it's beautiful, and it's not made up. She's not trying to do an effect for us. It's actually arising internally. It's different from doing a performance of it. It's like, don't do that. It's real. Dottie, beautiful. Thank you. Barb.
And I can love this thought too.
I missed the first part because at my end you broke up a little bit, but I heard you. I can love this thought too. What was the first part of it?
All is well.
Yes. All of this series allows us to land there. And the power behind that is phenomenal. When I can look at whatever it is and go, all is well, and actually mean it, we can't just do it as a sentence. Who cares? It means nothing. To actually do that is revolutionary. It doesn't mean doesn't mean that we're not going to make a change. It doesn't mean we're not going to grow. It's the opposite. We're not going to get stuck there. We actually create beautiful things in our lives from that. Carly.
I loved how we can turn the arrow the other direction to see the beauty.
Yes. You know, it's some of these things, they're so simple, but they're so right in front of us, but they're too close to us, or we don't see it, or we don't implement it. But when we do that, because I know that's a feeling when my company's humming, I see the beauty in everything. Why not start with seeing the beauty and allow that arrow to go in the opposite direction and construct the company that's actually working? I can have all the structures and systems. If I don't have this, I don't know how to get there from there, right? Beautiful. Thank you, Carly. Jasmine.
Didn't think of it because I was being fully present. So let's see. My aha is how beauty can be not just these things that we think of as aesthetically pleasing, but beauty can be in the logical thinking, in the recognition of emotion, in all these things that I definitely lean towards and definitely feel that I don't lean towards the more aesthetically pleasing things when it comes to noticing beauty. And so a new definition of beauty for me to be able to look out for.
Thank you. I need a sunset, otherwise there's nothing beautiful around. Such limited thinking. Oh, logical thinking has its beauty. I remember when math was my minor in university. I love math. So I took these crazy, if this is not your thing, don't worry about it. But I took these courses and like partial differential equations, right? Fourth year course, right? And I like the prof is like writing this equation. And it's like, and he goes QED at the end or whatever. Like he makes this proof. And he's like, and you can tell he's just like, he's in love. And I was there as a student in love with this, like a mathematical equation, right? If that's not your thing, that's okay. Something else. Beautiful. Steve.
Finding the beauty within helps us find the beauty without, and finding the beauty without helps us find the beauty within.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take that a step further with the next training for today. Fantastic. Yes. Thank you. Might not word it in those ways, but it's going to be connected. Thank you. Yes. Wendy.
It just brought back like all the phases. It brought back the bud and the lilac bush and the caterpillar and the butterfly, and that there's beauty in every single phase of life, even in the death phase and the rebirth. Like every phase has its beauty.
Thank you. And now you can see when you look back at Mexico at Home, because I wasn't teaching that explicitly, but it's always part of the curriculum. You get it? Over there, as we're looking at the bud, I don't want the bud. I only want this flower, this bloom. Or this teaching was there. If you go back and listen to it, you can see it threaded through. Thank you for connecting it back with that. Beautiful. Yes. Mary Kay.
I have a file in my training in my files, 10 years old, called Finding Beauty, that I created mm-hmm. with horses and animals. And my shop, my aha is, no one has ever seen it. I've never given it to anyone. 10 years.
Thank you for that. The high ticket virtual retreat. Think about the stuff that's lying around on your workshop floor. What you're doing is seeing beauty and all. I don't have anything to offer. Everybody else is already offering it. That's already taken. I've got to be better than because they're so good. Can't get there from there. I've got this beautiful stuff. It's like reframing what we've already learned, but from a different perspective. I've got this beautiful stuff lying in front of me. It's stuff that's going to serve tremendously. And when I can see it, Mary Kay might have gone to create a whole new course, or maybe she's got it sitting there right in front of her, but she wasn't seeing it because she didn't see the beauty in it. And now she does. And that just frees up a whole bunch of life energy. It gives her more content to put out there in the world. Like, does it, it functions on so many levels. Thank you. Yes. Beautiful. Who's up? Marla, if you're able to speak. Not sure if you're in place where you can speak or not. All right, I'm not seeing you unmute. So always go and post it. And don't be afraid to go post on the Facebook page. Even just because you said it here doesn't mean you can't repeat it over there on the Facebook page. Go ahead and do that, right? And I want to point out the beauty of the Facebook page too, by the way, our Facebook group. Man, we were so electric and alive during Mexico. And then it's just not, you know, but remember it's there. It's just in its bud form right now. There's not as much activity over there. It's just as beautiful in this way. But remember that you can use it just as actively as you did when we were at the Mexico at Home retreat. And if you're waiting for somebody else to do it, don't. Do it yourself. It's this beauty in bud form right now. It's beautiful there too. It doesn't have to be in one form or another. But I just want to remind you of that possibility. You can go, and it can be very simple what you post. You can go and post, you can go post the thing that you've said here. Because when you speak it and then you write it, it reinforces it. Right? Simple posts, right? Simple way to extend the teaching and really get it in your bones. All right. Anything else burning to be said without which we can't go forward? Because we're going to go forward from here into a meta meditation. And it wasn't my expectation. I thought we were going to start there. It's a different kind of energy than where we've just been in. You can hear I'm all like this, right? It changed the energy. Anything needing to be said? Okay, I think how I want to do the meta meditation, it is infinitely flexible, like Shavasana, like a yoga practice. Shavasana, when you begin your day with it, you could start there for 2 minutes or 2 hours. A yoga practice, I taught you that in Mexico at Home. You could teach a balanced, remember I taught you shut, like the different components that you need for a full yoga practice. You could do a full yoga practice in 2 hours, or you could do it in, I remember teaching Maria, I think she was one of the first people I taught, like here's a 5 minute practice that gets to everything, you know? It's expandable and contractible. The meta meditation is that way too. And we don't have to go to every single person. It's expandable and contractible. I could spend 1 minute just saying, may I be safe? And I've done a meta meditation. You get it? So I want you to know the elasticity of it. And because there is a bunch that I want to get to you today, not in a rush to get to it, we'll get to all of it. But because I just wanted to fit in this time slot. We're going to do, I think here's what we're going to do. I didn't know that till this moment. We're going to do a meta meditation that does the whole of a meta meditation and does it in a compact way. It's not the way I usually practice. I will tell you that. If I'm just going to spend a bit of time, I'll usually just stay there with myself. Doesn't mean we can't practice it that way though. It's usually if I'm doing a more extended meditation, that I'll go to those other people, but you can use it. Let yourself play with it. Expand it, contract it. You could play with the words if you want. I've used those same words for years. They've served me fine. If those words don't resonate for you, you could choose other ones. But the repetition of those same words has a resonant effect, I can tell you, over many, many years that it's been in my life. So those words come unbidden. It's like staying with the same words is extremely powerful because they just are habitual for me. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, may I be safe. That's very powerful. So let's go to the meta meditation. And what I'll say before we start is just be in a comfortable position. You could be camera on, camera off, doesn't matter to me. You could be sitting up, lying down. Traditionally, it's sitting up, but you can be lying down if you want. And also don't try to conjure a feeling. With the meta meditation, okay, when I say, may I be safe, I really have to feel safe in that moment. Don't worry about it. Just kind of feel the words. Just let the words drop in like rain. Don't try to make something of it. You just do the practice without attachment. And then let it have its ripple effect in ways that you don't have to even know about, right? Now, last time around, partway through the meta meditation, my camera froze and I can do a better job with my eyes closed. I'm going to close my eyes again. But hey, if you don't hear my words for like a 2-minute stretch, I might have some moments of silence, but if it's been 2 minutes and you haven't heard my voice, open your eyes. And if I'm frozen like this, don't worry, I'll come back. Because right? I don't want to repeat it. Although Mary Kay hopefully had a beautiful half hour meditation, right? In case some weird tech thing glitch comes in, but I will do it more authentically with my eyes closed. So I'm going to close my eyes. I won't see you. And Carly, actually, because my eyes are going to be closed, can I put you in charge? And because you've got my number too, like if you notice I haven't spoken anything and then you notice that I'm frozen, will you just text me and it'll bing? And I will like, yeah, I think that'll work. Let's try it like that. Okay. So sitting in a comfortable position, heart center open, hands resting gently on your thighs, or you can be lying down someplace that where you can be comfortable and seated or lying down and without the requirement that you move over the next little while. If you need to move, that's fine. You know, you're free to do that. If you can find a place where you can comfortably be still, that's great too. Softly close your eyes. Feel the breath. Be present. Let go of whatever's come before in your day, not needed right now. Be in this moment here and now, and just know that all is well. Just muting one of the lines just so that you've got a nice quiet line. Okay. Again, feel the breath. Any negativity, anything churning inside your heart center, just notice it, acknowledge it, and then let it go. It's not important right now, just not needed. You can come back to it later. And in its place, allow feelings of loving kindness, gratitude, well-being, safety, joy, emerge in your heart center. No need to force anything. Just notice what's arising. Maybe it's just a quiet sense of contentment. Just the feel of your breath in your lungs right now, the feel of this breath, all is well. And in this quiet place, we say the words of the metta meditation, beginning with ourselves. Just let these words echo in your mind. No need to make anything of them. Just let them echo there. Just let them be. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. I'm feeling that feeling in your heart center, whatever's arising there. Just embrace it with love and kindness, noticing all as well. And bring to mind a loved one, not a romantic partner, someone who it's easy to love, someone that's just so automatic, you can't help but love them, a person, an animal. Bring them to mind, imagine them there before you. Bring them up closer in full color. Let them be here with you now. Know that they too wish to be happy, wish to feel good. That's right and good. And we say the words of love and kindness for them. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Just noticing the feeling that's come up in your heart center. Embracing whatever's there. All is well. And bringing to mind a neutral person, someone you feel neither love nor hate for. Maybe somebody that you don't know that well, but maybe if you see them regularly, that's even better. But whoever comes to mind first, go ahead and choose them. They're perfect. Know that they too wish to be happy. They too wish to feel good. We say the words of love and kindness for them. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Noticing whatever feelings of loving kindness or well-being that have arisen in your heart center, just notice, just be there. Breathe it in. And then bring to mind the person traditionally known as the enemy, but don't pick the worst one. Better thought of as the difficult person, just somebody that is annoying to you or poses some difficulty, not the deepest, darkest one. Just someone who's maybe a little annoying. Bring them to mind. And know that they too wish to be happy. They too wish to be whole, they wish to feel good, and that too is right and good. We say the words of love and kindness for them. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And again, noticing those feelings of love and kindness, no attachment to whatever's arising, just noticing, dwelling there, taking a few breaths, breathe it in, enjoy. And then extending this circle out to all beings everywhere. Human, animal, plant, across the planet, across the universe, all beings everywhere. Visible, not visible. Know that they too wish to feel happy and safe, wish to feel good, and that this feeling this desire is right and true and good. So we extend our circle broader and broader to all beings everywhere. May we be safe. May we be peaceful, happy. May we be healthy. May we live with ease. Dwelling for a few moments in whatever feelings have arisen, or vibrations are moving through you, whatever silence or ease or loving kindness is there, just dwell there for a few breaths. Loving kindness to all. Loving kindness to all. Loving kindness to all. And then whether you're seated or lying down, you can bring the hands to the heart center in prayer position and lift the sternum bone up into the hands, open the heart, bow the head. Namaste means the light in me sees and honors the light in you. Namaste. There are the hands. Raise the head. Open the eyes. And returning to our virtual circle. Hi, Steve, you're first. As you know, welcoming everybody back. Hi, Wendy. So this, I didn't know how long this was going to be. This was about 10 minutes, and that was the whole of it. That's pretty fast for 10 minutes, but through all the different people. Again, normally to go through all those people, it's usually when I'm doing a longer seated meditation, but you can do that in 10 minutes. You could do that in 5 minutes, but I was also teaching and training as we were doing it, right? So each time I pause in between and just feel the feelings that I feel, right? But you can pause in silence and it would just be a few breaths. Some of the things that I speak out loud, you can just feel them and notice them in your body, mind, spirit. So you could do all of that in 5 minutes, or you could spend an hour just saying, may I be safe, right? So infinitely elastic. And the way that I most use this in my life, like I say, is I don't do the formal seated meditation as nearly as much as I used to. But it's laced throughout my day because of such a habit, right? So let's, I think what I'd like to do is consolidate this with beauty rather than questions. Questions bring us into that questioning mind. Let's say instead, what did you love here in the Loving Kindness series? There might've been 57 things you didn't like, or maybe 57 things you did like and only one you didn't, whatever the ratio is, or maybe you loved it all, it doesn't matter. It's a training. What was beautiful here? What did you love here in this practice for you right here, right now? Steve, you're now in my upper left corner. You're up first.
The thing that helped me most in this was that I don't have to, when I pick the enemy, it doesn't have to be an enemy, it just has to be a challenging person, situation.
Yes, thank you for hearing that. Why make it hard on ourselves, right? It's
like, because I don't want to do this, pardon the politics, but I don't want to do this for Donald Trump every time. Yeah, that's too hard.
Yeah. So why make it hard on yourself, right? Why make it hard? Because then you can, like, it's just tearing. That's not loving kindness for self. If it's just like, well, I'm going to do this because I'm supposed to, because it's really powerful. I feel horrible when I'm doing it, but nothing, no loving kindness for me, right? No, can't get there from there. Fantastic. Thank you. Wendy.
I just find it interesting. I feel like loving yourself is so important, and I find it so much easier to love everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? This is really important for your company in ways probably that others in the community will see more than you will. Am I right? Everyone around me is nodding. Right? Everybody said Mary Kate, but she was looking thoughtful, and I think she was there with me too, right? So those that I can see. This is so important for your company, more than I can say. This is one of the most important things for your company. If you know that I'm right, can I say this? Can I ask them this, Wendy? If you know that I'm right about this for Wendy, that her getting the thing that she just said and realized, like, oh, love and kindness for herself, that this is crucial for her company, raise your hand. Can you see it? Yeah, exactly. This is highly, you know, sometimes we want tactics and strategies, and this is the most important thing you could do to grow your company. Thank you for hearing it. When Mary Kay.
I love the connection I landed on with a cat who's no longer with me, but who showed me loving presence.
Love it. And chills. Thank you. Yes. Philip. Carly.
I can't believe how fast that 10 minutes went by. It felt like it was just like time, just like, I don't know. It just felt like it was like 2 or 3 minutes, but it was very deep and brought this sense of peace that I really needed after a pretty crazy couple weeks.
Right. The alignment this can bring in short order is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Marla. It's an act of love and kindness for ourselves, actually, in doing it, right? Yeah. Marla.
I found it very difficult in the beginning. But then once I got into it, and it was just felt really good.
So love it. Not prejudging it. It starts out like that, but it ended beautifully. What a beautiful story too. Instead of, oh, it all started out well and then went downhill. That's the opposite. You get it? However it started out, I know that it's going to go beautifully. Great story to ingrain, right? From a real place, not just because we say the words. Thank you, Marla. Beautiful. Dottie. Manaha.
I didn't like it. I was disappointed. And as I'm just saying the truth, because you all are the safest group I'm in, which I love. But I didn't want to, I wanted to care for myself.
Right, got it, yeah, got it. And so then following the practice here, go ahead and do it. I forgot to say it this time, but last time when we did it last week, I said, you can get off the bus wherever you want. Just stay with yourself, because that's more appropriate probably at this stage for you. So there's a reason that fell off for you. And then anytime you're here, if you're hearing it, you're listening to my voice and I'm going to the other people, but it's not right for you, just stay where you are, right? So I forgot to mention it this time, but so great. So that, thank you, Dottie. And yes, always speak the truth, satya, truthfulness. And then if you didn't like it, there's still something that you liked. It might just be, so I want to return us to that, the practice of seeing beauty. It might be that, hey, I had the presence of mind to know that, and I was courageous enough to speak up. That could be something that you loved. What is it that you did love then?
It wasn't that I didn't like it. I was grateful for the exercise to be able to use it later.
Yeah.
But right now, my need, I just didn't even know I was needy, but I felt the need to just do self-love for myself and relaxation for myself.
Right. So then the thing that you loved is that I had the need to do self, love for myself. And I had that awareness and I love that. Do you see how I'm still just guiding? It's like, yeah, but what did you love? Yeah, but what was beautiful there? Yeah, but what did you love? And it's not because I want to cover over what you said. It's not because I'm trying to stop the truth. It's because I'm trying to train all of our minds, remind us to train all of our minds. Yeah, so I didn't like these pieces, but there still was something. There still was something. And thank you for playing. Yeah, good.
It was really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be happy face on empty gas gauge. You can see the difference, right? Crucial. Mary Kay. You're muted.
I just stepped away, so I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say.
Oh. About the, it's about the, what did I love about the meta meditation? And did you step away?
Yeah, no, I said that about my cat.
Oh, that's right. It's because you ended up on the bottom of my screen again. And yes, I remember it. Actually, I had chills about it, about your cat, but I just forgot that it wasn't a different piece of it, right? So, oh, well, yeah, that's why. What am I supposed to say? I already said it. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Mary Kay. Love it. All right. Going slowly to go quickly. So much I want to share with you. And which order will it land most easily? I think what I want to do from here, anything bursting to be said without which we can't go forward, because then minds will be tugged over there. I'm not calling for something to be said. It's just like, man, I have to say this. I'm bursting with it. Anyone? No? Okay, good. Because that means we're all here and present. I'm calling us back to presence for the next segment, right? So a couple of questions on deck and that I want to get to. Just checking to see if everyone's still with me. Okay, because these are great questions. Mary Kay posted it. Mary Kay, she's our like our question. What do you call that? Model questioner, right? You know. Thank you for the questions that you pose. I love them, and I so encourage your questions, right? So Mary Kay says, is it worthwhile for me to connect with online people who invite you to connect, but you can tell they're doing it for marketing? In my experiment with reaching out to people on Facebook, I learned a lot of other people are doing this too, but pretty obviously their primary intent is to sell. My initial intent has been a simple offer to connect around a common interest or response to a question they post. First off, I would make sure that there's nothing inside you that is pushing away either sales or marketing. First, I don't think there's a big piece in you that's doing that, but in case for anybody that's doing that, it's like, oh, those rotten people are selling stuff. If there's any thread of that, just notice it with loving kindness. Because like, for instance, when people are selling stuff, I perk up and I pay attention even more because like, how are they doing it? So I think what it is, I think the actual objection here is that they're not actually doing it very well. It's great to be among entrepreneurs who are all having something to offer, but they're not doing it very elegantly or strategically because they're going, hey, hi, there you are. Let me sell you something. So you're bothered by the fact that they're not actually very skilled at sales. That's how I want to reframe this first. And that's a perfect thing to be bothered by. I think that's great. And Mary Kay, does that make sense? Yeah, go ahead, Mary Kay.
I don't feel like I'm bothered by it. I just kind of want to know what to do.
Right, got it. And this might or might not have been you. I wasn't detecting a lot of that, but in case anybody else is this piece was more for like in case anybody ends up doing that, I want to make sure that we unplug that. I'm doing some preemptive editor proofing for some people, okay? So then what should I do with this? So I would go right back to the beginning of practical applications. Remember that everything that we do is all connected. And it's about real connections. And it's about, you know, so if we're in a group commenting and contributing first, and you're probably doing these things already, Mary Kay, but I want to underline in case somebody's forgotten or in case sometimes we even forget, right? Comment and contribute and get to know people and start close in. So if it's just an online group where we can only see our words, what other way can you start where you can actually get always working to get closer in from the training from practical applications? And so for instance, I'm going to give eWomen, Carly is managing director, you know, like eWomen is just one model. It might not be your target audience, but I like eWomen Network because what they do is first they were live and getting together, then they moved it to virtual, but we can still see people and still connect and chat with people. So you can have that closer up sense of people. Anytime when you can make it closer up, do so. Anytime instead of making a cold call, you can make a warm call, do so. So it might direct you to be interacting in other places, right? First. But nothing wrong with interacting there. It's just like I'm doing it. It's kind of like if Steve were using Trump for him as in the loving kindness meditation, it wouldn't be wrong. It would just be harder. Why would he do it that way when we could do it the other way? Same for you, it's not wrong to do it, but why not do it the easy way? And then you will start having probably better ears, not to push away sales, but you can start to hear where people are so caught up in their own marketing speak. Like I don't reply to people who email and say, hey, we looked at your website and we can, you know, increase your SEO and why don't you get in touch with me? I'm not gonna answer that because they're not even reaching out to me in a very skilled way. So it's not a skilled entrepreneur. So it's like, you know, why would I bother, right? But that same ask, if I met them at eWomen and it's something that I'm actually asking about or whatever, or it's some other place like that. So go to the places where you can make those real connections first. And if it's, and trust your instincts. If it's somebody that's just pushing their wares, they're not very skilled anyway, and send them love, but know that they're just not that skilled yet. Or maybe they have a really huge company, but they've built it on a foundation that you don't want or like. It's just like, hey, I'll just push it and I don't care if they get the results. Or there's companies out there that are like that. Might not be a match, so let them go. Just let them go and go somewhere else, you know, or talk to somebody else there, or dive in with whatever will bring it closer up. Okay, that's does that give you some place to start with that? At least one piece of that, Mary Kay.
Yes, I think following my instinct, and then I might just get curious enough, and then I can judge if it's worth the time of my curiosity.
Right. Yes. Trust your instincts, and your instincts will become more and more trustable for all of us as we do this work. Does that make sense? Yeah, if I trust my instincts, but I haven't learned about Devasia, so I'm pushing stuff away all the time, and my instinct is to push that person away because that's all I'm doing everywhere. You know, it's like my instincts get refined through the course of everything that we're doing here. And already, Mary Kay, I mean, you teach loving presence with animals. Like, there's, you know, we all, like, already here, all of us are playing at a higher level of instinct than maybe a number of people out there. I'm not trying to judge. I'm just trying to say they may not have had the tools or access or knowledge, but we can refine it and get it to a better and better state of, you know, trusting those instincts, right? So great question. Next question. There's three great questions. And again, for each of you, not does this apply? How does this apply? Where am I connecting with somebody where I could be connecting one step closer in and it could change the world? Carly, for instance, we were in a private session where I just told you that yesterday. It's like, oh, right. Why is that piece isn't working? Well, it's because I didn't reach out to that. I didn't go close in. It's like very applicable for each of you. And I hope you don't mind, Carly, if I just point over to you. But it's like, we need to learn at deeper and deeper levels the same thing, but where am I not noticing it that it's happening in my company? And then enact it. Mary Kay says, if a high-ticket training program has weekly, training calls, does not having many handouts available encourage people to be live on the calls? Interesting question. So should I not have handouts because then they'll be live on the calls? I don't think of it like that. And hold that, I see you, Dottie, but hold that for just a second. I don't really think of it like that. I think of it like, well, how do you encourage people to be on the calls? By encouraging people to be live on the calls, by telling them the why, by telling them the benefits, and then also trusting people that, like for instance, Tracy and Lindsay posted on the Facebook page saying, hey, we're in flight, we can't be there right now, but hey, love to y'all or whatever, right? So it's all the things from the Loving Kindness series are enacted here, you know? And also the having a big why series, right? So why should they show up live? How is that gonna help them? And if that's already structured throughout everything, then whether there's handouts or not is immaterial. Why would I have handouts? Because they're gonna benefit people. Why would I not have handouts? We have not traditionally, and Carly, I know we were doing some work about this yesterday. We haven't traditionally had a whole bunch of handouts, and we're playing with some for some things coming up, but there's a reason that's very different from show up rate that we haven't had handouts. It's because of one of the things that I've seen in the industry a lot. And again, Carly had a discussion about this yesterday. And that's that people get tied up with a whole bunch of homework in some places. If you've experienced this before, let me describe it first, then I'll have you raise your hand if you've experienced this before. Like tons and tons of homework. And maybe it's like endlessly sketching out who the ideal client is, or endlessly sketching out the market, or endlessly sketching. So we end up putting activity over there. And in doing those, filling out the handouts and filling out the blanks, and we mistake that activity for things that are actually moving the needle. It's not that that's not valuable. Mistake that for things that actually move the needle. And instead, what is covering over fear, not love. I'm actually afraid to go talk to that person. So I'm endlessly going to do the homework and endlessly going to rework the order of the words that I'm going to say it, or I'm endlessly going to sketch out who my ideal client is, all valuable things. But I'm missing a foundational training from the series Call One of Loving Kindness, love, not fear. I'm actually hiding in fear by doing the homework. And therefore I can imagine that I'm busy and productive. And therefore I can tell everybody that I'm a hardworking entrepreneur, but if I fail, I don't have to have as much as me unconsciously at stake in it, because, hey, I know I haven't got out there yet, but tomorrow I'll get out there and actually do it. So tomorrow it's all going to be okay. And I can dream this, that tomorrow is going to be rosy, even if I think today sucks, but I really acknowledge it to myself because I'm busy doing the homework, so I know I'm a good entrepreneur. There's all kinds of weird stuff that can happen. So if you've seen that happen where it's even really functional homework, but it turns into something that actually distracts from the job of actually doing what we're meant to do, which is serving people and going, having conversations and actually changing people's lives, helping people to change their own lives through the work that we do. If you've seen that happen or you've been involved in that before, if you've done that or seen that happen, raise your hand. Anyone? It happens. It's like rampant, I think, in this industry. So that not handouts or not, I wouldn't even worry about that. It's like, do you need handouts? Use handouts. If you don't need handouts, don't use handouts. You want them to show up on the calls? Well, what's the big why? And what's the loving kindness toward them? And all these things that we're learning to make that decision, whether, and I would keep it as nothing to do with, you know, encouraging people to be on the calls or not. It's not the trigger. Okay. And great question. And what's the transformation for them? What's their top of mind problem? Why would they want to show up? Right. So we started starting with Shavasana because that was, you know, like, hey, start with Shavasana. It's a nice place to be. So there's an oasis when we start these calls. So it's a way to remind people to show up live, for instance, but I never say that. I'm saying it to you now because you've asked a question, right? Different things you can do. All right. Two-part question. If I run my high-ticket offering as a mastermind, should I call it a mastermind when decorating the door? If it's a mastermind, call it a mastermind. If it's a mentorship, call it a mentorship. I wouldn't, again, get caught up on what you call it. Sometimes I call this a mastermind. Sometimes I call it a community. I don't worry about it. Doesn't really matter, doesn't really affect sales. You know, if it's a mastermind, go ahead and call it that. But I wouldn't get caught up there. That's the brain getting caught up on something that is of less significance than going out there chatting with people. And if there's some reason, it's like, I don't know what to put at the top of this web page or whatever, we'll choose one and see what, you know, and as you're talking to people in those strategy sessions, they'll go, masterminds, every single one of your person, like, I hate masterminds, then change the word, but don't let it be heavy. I don't think that's it. Just use the word, it's fine. Okay. Should the following concept decorate the door or wait to be presented when clients buy the offer? Horses are active participants in the mastermind. I facilitate their offering. So I think what this question is asking is, do I tell people that horses are active participants in mastermind? Like, should I put that right up front? It's a really important question for all of us. Like, what do I put up front for people? What do I decorate the door with and what's inside the party? I do not decorate the door with the names of the Allow series. None of you would be here. I'm going to teach you about abundance. Who cares? I can Google that. I'm going to teach you about loving kindness. I already know that. That's really lame. You know what I mean? You might not have been that unkind in your thoughts, but you get it? But I know it moves the needle. Are you freaking kidding me? But I'm not going to decorate the door with that because people, there's a lot of false closure around that. Like, I already know that. So what do I decorate the door with? I would make sure that there's at least a hint of it. Think about how I use yoga in decorating the door. I don't really decorate the door much with yoga, but I make sure that it's at least dropped in. Like one of my mentors who dropped in that she uses goddess cards, because she had one person once who went, goddess cards, I'm appalled. And I can't believe you didn't tell us this. And I'm getting out of here and I want my money back. I'm like, oh, and it's a deep part of her community. But it was somebody who was really offended by that. So she mentions that, hey, you know, we can kind of connect with spirit in different ways here on this campus. Something of that will be seeded early enough on so you don't end up with the wrong person. Same thing with yoga, like watch how I will drop that in different places in my calls. There's more happening on those calls than meets the eye, right? And one of them is, I'll say, oh yeah, by the way, you know, teach yoga too, that's part of how the alignment comes. Otherwise nobody will hear you when you speak your stories. It might be that fast. But somebody who goes, yoga comes from the devil, or yoga, this person in my life did yoga and they were awful and I hate anything yogic. That person's gonna have a hard time as they come inside the party. So I'm not really going to decorate the door with it, but I'm not going to have it be like a jump out surprise either. That's important for every single one of us. Because it's like, you want to focus on decorating the door and what's their top of mind problem? What are they asking about? Solve that for them. Okay, great questions. Let me see. I want to take just one moment for you to jot down your aha from those questions, because there any single one of those things could move the needle for every single one in this room. Jot down your one aha, because I don't want to take the time to go to each person, but I want you to notice it. And then a bonus would be go post in the Facebook page, right? But for now, just jot down your one aha, because I want you to see something beautiful there for you. It's training the mind in what we're talking about, one of the things we're talking about here, right? I'll just take 30 seconds. Okay, everyone have at least one thing that you loved from from what happened with that question period. If you've got at least one thing, like nod your head or raise your hand, or I know you got it. Great, good. Because that means you're also training that, you know, I see beauty everywhere, right? I see beauty in the way that she asked that question. I see beauty in something of the response. I see beauty in, I didn't agree with the answer, but it gave me this other idea and I love that. It could be at any level, right? So anything bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Oh, Dottie, I saw your hand up earlier and then we went past it. I'm sorry, I forgot. But if it doesn't need to be spoken now, don't. But if you want to speak it right now, go ahead.
Okay. I'm a sales trainer, and I know something very, very important about what Mary Kay brought up about the salesman calling. I wanted to know if I should share it. My fingers are very, I'm losing my ability to type, unfortunately, so I don't want to type it in the chat. Can I say it real quick, or?
If it's real quick, yeah. If it's real quick, because out of love and kindness, there's some pieces that I want to make sure that
if anybody here,
but I'm trusting that what you have to say is going to be beautiful for each one of us, because each one of us will be able to find it. But it's got to be real quick.
For anyone who is uncomfortable calling people because you're afraid the person will think you just called me to sell your wares, a very important skill is bonding and rapport. So it's better for you to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes in bonding and rapport will be much more important than anything else, because the receptivity builds after they know that you truly called them to say hi and see how they're doing.
Thank you, Dottie. This is beautiful. And this is, remember from practical applications, this is about connectedness, right? And we do like a whole bunch of work in and around that over in practical applications, and it's such an important point, so thank you. It's really important, and it's related to our material right now, so it gives me the opportunity to deepen the level of what we're doing here, because it's about seeing beauty, right? When I rush in and go, here, let me sell you something, I'm not even seeing that person, much less seeing the beauty in them. Till I see that person, How do I even know what I need to offer them? So it's another way to look at that. It's related directly to this material. So I want to move on to some. So thank you for that, Dottie. I love that. It's really crucial. It can't happen without that. Agreed. All right. Anything else bursting to be said, without which we can't go forward? Okay. I want you to take 1 minute. And you remember we did an exercise at Mexico at Home on your ideal listener. Do you remember that person? That person who just loves and adores you, who soak in every word, who sometimes I do that training right here in the Love and Kindness series, but we did it over in Mexico. I do it different ways, different years. But I want us to recall the energy of that, because the next piece is built on that, all right? So I want you to take 1 minute. We did the deep dive version over in Mexico at Home. I want you to recall that person to yourself, or the one that pops up right now. Just choose that person who came up first for you. Choose that person and take 1 minute to write them into being. And you can start with a scrap of their dress or their shirt. You can start with the way that house smells when you walk in the door and there's baked cookies, or it smells like a pasture, like, I don't know. Start with something sensory. Recall who they are and recall in words on the page how it feels when they are listening in that way to you. You've got 1 minute. Just trust what comes. Just keep the pen to the page. Go. And finishing up the last sentence, taking the rain to a place where, remember, you can come back to this at any time, and it's a great thing to do that, right? Just a reminder, the power of words, the power of conjuring that person into being once again. So what I'd like to do in the next minute is just hear a couple of words, not more than a sentence, better if it's not a whole sentence, a little piece from what's on the page in front of you or something that you recall from them. I'm going to model this. I want to do this just for 1 minute collectively. So we collectively bring to mind the energy, because they're not there until they're there with us right now in this moment, right? Bring to mind the energy of that ideal listener. Dana's eyes light up and I see you're seeing me. Somebody else, just keep going. We're going to do this just for 1 minute because I want a collective ideal listener. So we've got that energy in us. Go ahead, just unmute and say. And don't be shy, or the whole minute will go by.
It's so relaxing to be in his presence.
Without me saying anything, his smile gets bigger and bigger.
His eyes twinkle with every word that I say.
I can say I don't understand, and he asks, and I can explain, and he understands. Her mouth is open in happiness and accepting this wisdom.
She is always listening carefully and asking great questions, which lead the conversation forward.
Beautiful. Thank you, everyone. Beautiful. Couple things. Notice how quickly that energy can be recalled. Notice the shift in the room. Can you feel it? Words are extremely powerful. We did that in a couple of minutes. How would that change your day? These are not once and done, okay? How quickly we were able to recall that. So our ideal listener from the Language of Love and Kindness series now, that's the person who sees and hears and knows the beauty in us. You get it? And reminds us of that. Remember, we talked about that we need, sometimes it's necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness. Do you remember that poem that I read you a few weeks ago? A few weeks ago, I think. That person reteaches us our own loveliness and reminds us of the beauty of ourselves and thus the world. So highly resonant with everything we've done so far. Make sense? Yeah. Yeah, so again, layers and layers of how these teachings work together. So remembering who that ideal listener is crucial for us on so many levels. I'm not going to repeat what we did in Mexico. I wanted to bring us back to that energy. Are we there? I felt us there. Came there very quickly. Notice how you can do that. Then I want to add on another training about the ideal listener that has to do with your ideal client. And I talked about this a little bit in Mexico, but I want to make a clearer distinction and tell you a little bit more about how they're related and different. Our ideal listener, we saw, and I'm thinking about the transformation we saw, for instance, in Dottie. Huge difference. When I know there's somebody there, and with a Dottie read here, I was like, oh, to know that we are listened to transforms the world. It's huge for each and every one of us. And there's deeper and deeper levels of it that we can access. So I want to talk today about, and remember that loving kindness is for every level of our companies. We've got to love our readers. We've got to love ourselves as CEO of our company. We've got to love our team, our product, our sales process, our clients. Like, there's so many things to love, right, in our companies. And having our ideal listener helps us to do that. It brings us a sense of confidence. It brings us a sense of safety. It brings us to say those things that we wouldn't otherwise say. You get it too, that for instance, the training that I did last week on the anniversary of my man's death, I've never done a training like that before. That's like another one of like my cutting edge levels. That's because you were acting as my ideal listeners in that moment. I could not have trained in that way without an audience that I really trust. because it could easily be misread. Oh, look, Michelle just really lost it today, and there wasn't really anything there, you know, which would have totally missed the point of the call. But my editor could be kicked up in front of a non-ideal listener audience. And why do I know that you're that you could function that in that way in that moment? Not just because of you amazing selves that you are, but because I'm trained with my ideal listener over many years. Do you get that? I can come in expecting an ideal listener because I've trained myself that way. But ideal listeners and ideal clients are not the same thing. They overlap, but they're not the same thing. Because sometimes what happens, our ideal listener, we need to know who that is and have that to have our confidence, to have that and know that we're listened to have that and know that we can say anything. Because when we're writing copy or when we're speaking to an audience or whatever, we have to say those things that we otherwise would be afraid to say. And then how we know how to say them and what to say, we're going to learn about over the coming weeks in our new story series, okay? That's a different segment. But for now, we need to know that we're listened to. We need to be able to suss those things out that otherwise might be unspeakable. And those unspeakable things are the things that are most fascinating to people about it, right? About everything. It susses them out. Ideal client versus ideal listener. I think you'll get this better if you kind of tell me what you think about why they're... It's easy to see why they're the same. I just gave you an example of that. You guys were functioning as my ideal listeners last week. Did you understand what I was saying by that? That you functioned in that way? Well, that's separate from you as being in my ideal client zone, all right? It's overlapping, but it's not the same thing. So it's easy to see how they could be resonant. You know, like I know that Marla is hearing me right now, and that pleases me, and she's functioning as my ideal listener, and she's also in my ideal client zone, and they're overlapping. It's easy to see how they overlap, right? It's a person who can hear me. But they're also different. Why would they be different? I want you to tell me why they're different, because you'll hear it more when I tell you about it when you've thought about it first. Why is an ideal client and an ideal listener different? In what's the most important way that they're different? What do you think? Somebody tell me. Yeah, Wendy.
I mean, we've seen multiple times when your ideal client has said to you, like, I'm not an ideal listener in this case. I don't like what you said, or I don't agree with what you said, or I don't, like Dottie today, I didn't like the meta meditation. Like,
beautiful, fabulous example, right? I could not have come up with a better example. Thank you, Wendy. Like, enough said. So we don't need to go to somebody else. It's like I wanted to generate a bunch of ideas, but let's bounce off of there because you got it. And we've got a perfect example. I wasn't even thinking about that at the moment. Totally forgot about that moment in this context, right? It's that or Steve the other day, remember, right? It's like, Michelle, I didn't like that call, you know, right? I didn't like that meditation, right? There's a psychological thing that happens, all right? Like it's like a trigger. How do I describe this? If I need my ideal client to perform as my ideal listener, all kinds of weird stuff happens. If I need my ideal client to perform like my ideal listener, all kinds of weird stuff happens. No, Dottie, I need you to have heard that. And it was really so much better than sliced bread. Didn't you know? There must be something wrong with you. I mean, that would be the reaction in me if I thought, no, she has to be like this. And there's a bunch of attachment there. There's raga and there's dvesha pushing away that real version of that real person in front of me. Right now, your ideal client is both the people in front of you. They're versions of your ideal client. You guys all are that. And then there's that ideal client persona, like the one that we create as an ideal. Okay, maybe it's some kind of collective idea of who you guys collectively are for our purposes right now. I'm not teaching, I'm not doing a deep dive training about ideal client, but if you've heard about ideal client and done some training about it, even, you know, with me or others, raise your hand. You have the basic working knowledge of what that means. Okay, so we're not gonna go deep into that right now. But even in my profile, not the real people, but my profile of my ideal client, if I think they always and everywhere have to be my ideal listener, there's something inside me that's coming up as needy. There's something in me that goes, you need to be always and ever, ever listening. And there's this kind of psychological function, like I'm drawing from them instead of being whole in and of myself. I can draw that strength from my ideal listener, And they can even overlap sometimes, you know? Carly, you did some ideal listening for me yesterday, for instance, right? So Carly in that moment was being an ideal listener. She also happens to be a version of my ideal client. And she was functioning in that moment as ideal listener. But as soon as I need my clients to be in a particular way, I'm lost. Don't ask them to be that. But as you're creating your ideal client profile, you can put that as part of who they're going to be. There's somebody who hears me, right? So we can kind of feed in an idea of the ideal listener as part of the profile of the ideal client. But don't grasp it with really heavy hands. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've not taught like this ever before. So I'm hoping that I'm finding the words to say it. It's a new level knowledge for me. So it might not come across as the, you know, this is the cutting edge knowledge. So I'm hoping you're getting this because it really, I see it messed up in a lot of companies. I can't expect that person in a strategy session to perform as an ideal listener. I can't expect an ideal client. And even though I want to create my ideal client profile, it's somebody who can actually hear what it is I have to say. Of course, I want that as an aspect of my ideal client. But there's no neediness about it. That's what I really want to underline. Our ideal listener, they are that by their own nature. Our ideal client, they're going to function in all kinds of different ways at different moments. And one aspect of them is that they can hear you. But don't make them perform that action that your prototypical ideal listener does. I don't know if I found the words to say it today. I don't think I've explained that very clearly, but I can tell you that I see this happening all across the industry in really messed up ways. I need something from that person. They have to listen to me. It's not even a good example of what an ideal listener is anyway. And it comes from, here's a way to explain it. It comes from the lack of having an ideal listener in my life. Or even the profile of an ideal listener. When I have that ideal listener in my life and the profile of them, and I'm confident enough of them, then, for instance, let me give you the example of how I spoke Tuesday and how I spoke Thursday. I talked to you guys very vulnerably on Tuesday. On Thursday, I gave a talk. Everybody would have said I was very authentic and very vulnerable and I give from the heart and I say things other people don't say, but I was sharing at different levels and highly intentionally so. And I didn't need the audience to hear something or not hear something because you, in functioning as ideal listener, for instance, on the Tuesday for me, right? I didn't do it for that. I was doing it to teach something, but you also did perform in that way. Lets me let go of whether that audience hears or not, whether that person steps forward or not. Like there's just more degrees of freedom in me. And then, because it's like I'm already filled up by my ideal listener. My analogy isn't quite right because here it was you guys functioning as ideal listener. But when I have an ideal listener inside me, I don't care whether they hear me or not. And sometimes an ideal client has to not hear me because if they could hear everything absolutely perfectly always, they don't need the work in a sense. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's that got to it. Yeah. Wendy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that this ties back into the abundance. Like if I know that there, and I love what you said about like, it's not even about an outside ideal listener. It's about me owning my wholeness and being my own ideal listener. Yes. And knowing that what I have to say is important. But it goes back to an abundance of knowing that there is something bigger than me orchestrating the people who I need to come to me. And that those people will hear my message and that everybody doesn't need to hear my message, but the people that need it will.
The freedom that this gives us as entrepreneurs is unparalleled. I don't know how to find the words to say it. It's a major thing that's happening out there in the industry and mucking up things for a lot of people. And we can just say, okay, I'm just going to be confident and know, like, I love everything you said, Wendy, but some people try to get it like, okay, now I don't know. I just need to be confident. But like, how do we do that? How, right? Well, I know who my ideal listener is. It's an act of self-love, loving kindness for myself, right? It allows me to come from love, not fear, And then they can say whatever they want. It makes no difference. And then I can say the hard stuff. Then I can say what needs to be said. Then I can say, hey, you actually didn't hear. Whatever it is, and I'm not going to be attached. And yes, all this work is holographic. It all fits together. You're right. It circles right back to the abundance series, right? And this is why when we come around to it, like you know, Carly, the second time around, I was like, that's what that means. I didn't get it the first time, but that's connected with that, connected with that, connected with that, which moves the needle over here, right? Yes, beautifully put. Thank you, Wendy. You got it. All right. So having an ID, let me cap it off in this way to end this loving kindness series and to end this part of it. Does it mean that, okay, now we're done with love. What else, Michelle? It's going to be laced through everything, right? But it's an act of love, not fear. And it's an act of loving kindness towards self, like the metta meditation, me first, to know and create that ideal listener for myself. When I do that, I want to connect back with the Letting Go series. Remember we did a piece on listening? There's listening and being listened to over there in the Letting Go series. It's like, how can I let go and actually listen to that person in front of me? Because if I can't do that, I can't do anything. And I'll let go of my own agenda and be able to listen to them. Comes into the Practical Application series as well. I ought to be able to listen. Well, how am I going to do that? Let's connect from that point to what we're doing over here. I'm going to be able to let go and listen to them when I'm not expecting them to be my ideal listener, when I don't feel the need to be listened to because I'm already filled up by my ideal listener. Then I can hear the thing that they actually are saying. It gets us to a place of simplicity, but it's won, it's earned, we've done the work to achieve that. I'm not being filled up by needing them to be my ideal listener. I'm not attached, and so I can actually sit down and listen to what they're saying, and I can say the thing that needs to be said. And if you think back, if you had a strategy session with me, for instance, and you said something, and sometimes I would go, actually, I don't buy that at all, or whatever, I don't believe that, or you just said that, but I don't think you believe it yourself, or whatever it is. You can't say those things if you're needing love to come from that person. And that's the thing that's actually the standout quality. Nobody's ever talked to me like that before. Nobody's ever listened to me like that before. These are some of the mechanisms of how that happens. Now, Carly, we didn't get to this in the Love and Kindness series last year, but you guys are ready to hear it. This is like a 2.0 teaching. And it's I've articulated in my own brain, and I have starting to find the words to say it. But if you just heard what we just did in this call just now, that's worth the entire price of admission. Most entrepreneurs out there are falling at some level in this, and we don't have to. Oh, we'll fall. That's fine. Oh, we'll pick ourselves up again, and we'll know what's happening. They don't even know what's happening. Thanks, Steve. We'll see you next time because we're at the hour here. I assume that's a wave goodbye. So we're going to wrap up the call. This is the end of the Loving Kindness series. Doesn't mean that Loving Kindness ends. It's going to be wrapped through everything we do, and we're going to start Story Foundations next week. And I am super, super thrilled about this because. No, there's something. Here it is. I want to tell you this in 1 minute. We need story in every aspect of our company. The name of the book, Awakening the Spine. So, Dottie, from Dottie's question, I just happened to see it. So, we need stories in every aspect of our company. This is pointing to a very intricate aspect of a story that's going on inside ourselves that can make or break a company, for example. This is one aspect of story. There's story in our branding. There's story in our sales at multiple levels. There's story in our mission. What we say is even our mission. There's story in our and how we articulate our purpose. There's a story in how we envision ourselves as CEO of our company or not. Or we're working for a bad boss who happens to be ourselves and we've created a job for ourselves. Like, all these are stories that we live by, right? Or don't. And they're either created consciously or they're created unconsciously, like the ideal listener or not. If we don't have that story consciously, it's running the show in ways we don't even know. I am so excited to dive into this level of story for us, for our company. And Story Foundations, I've changed the name. Mary Kay was talking about, is it Mastermind? Is it, I've changed the name for you just this week because it's like to nail what it's actually about. It's got a new name. You're the one of the, some of the first to hear it. Story, what was provisionally called Story Foundations, is now called, and here, this is what we're going to be doing, Story Mastery. Create foundational stories that build your business. That's what we're going to be doing in this series. I cannot wait to get started. It's the deepest dive of story and how it actually works that we've ever done. And Carly, you know, I know you know we didn't get here in the Love and Kindness series in this way before. You guys are ready. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see you for the kickoff next week. So bring your questions as always, bring your whole selves. I can't wait to get started. And we're gonna end this call as we always do. One aha, one inspired action. If you need to leave, because I know it's time, we're 2 minutes after already. If you need to leave before you get to say your aha and inspired action, please go and post on the Facebook page. That's a wonderful thing to do because it's an act of love and kindness to everyone else in the community. There's some people who can be here live, some who can't. And you're just giving generously to those who weren't there. Then it takes just a minute. And what's going to happen is it'll bounce right back to you because it'll get it more deeply in your cells, and it only takes a minute. It's a wonderful act of love and kindness to yourself. Even if you say it here, I'd go and post it on the Facebook page. So Wendy, you're up first. One aha, one inspired action to take this out into the world.
My aha was that I can love myself by being my own ideal listener.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. And your inspired action?
I'm just going to take some time to journal to listen to myself.
I think that's beautiful. Beautiful thing to do. We did some really deep work today, and taking some time, the journaling also just helps process it and helps like love and kindness towards something. Great thing to do. Thank you. Carly, you're up next.
Well, I had a really big aha with the ideal listener and client relationship. I had my architectural designs, especially coming out of school, were so sacred to me. And I would be very sensitive if a client didn't like what I presented, or it would really hurt my feelings.
Exactly.
So I really focused on changing my perspective on that, and created an amazing process now where I listen very deeply to my clients and they feel very heard and create amazing things. And I'm very unattached to which options that they choose. I just like to see them happy. And it just deleted so much stress and anxiety.
And I'm going to stop you there because it's so important, Carly. And again, if you need to leave earlier, but I just want to see them happy. Can you hear the meta meditation in that?
Yeah.
I want to see them happy. That's probably because I'm seeing the beauty in them. They're beautiful to me and I want them happy. Like, I want to see them happy. I'm coming from love, not fear, because I'm not afraid they're going to say something better. They won't like it. All of what we've been learning are in that act of what you've been doing, which is what a big chunk of what makes it successful.
Yeah. That's like such an amazing aha. And I'm realizing that in the areas I'm not having that kind of ease, I need to come up with a process that's going to help me to not feel so attached to that outcome. So that's a huge aha for me.
Thank you. Thank you. I was telling you guys this. I wanted to share it with you. I didn't have all the words to say it yet. Oh, well, and this tells me you really freaking heard. Thank you. and there you are. Functioning as my ideal listeners again. Like, it's a moment of happiness, right? But you don't need to. If you didn't hear, that's okay too, right? Carly, your inspired action.
So my inspired action is I'm going to look at what are those places I'm really attached in my business that I can create a better process in so that I can have more of a sense of ease.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yes. Marla, you're up.
I'm not quite sure how it's going to land yet, but that I have an ideal listener, but all my clients don't need to be that.
Yeah, thank you for hearing it. It's so freeing on so many levels, way more than we've had time and space to say here. You got it. What's your inspired action?
Journaling about it.
Beautiful. Love it. Yes. Dottie, you're up.
I loved the class today. And what I got that I wanted to share was I loved also the find my own ideal listener. Don't put that on any of my clients so that I can give them truly my best.
Thank you. Love it. Yes.
On them. It's their time.
And this is going to connect with the work we're going to do about story. Who's the hero of the journey after all? If I don't have that all already inside me, I'm going to have to make me the hero of the journey and mess all kinds of stuff up. And how and why that happens and what we do about it and how we create those stories, that's to come next series. So Dottie, you got it. Beautiful. Yes. What's your inspired action?
I'm going to start reviewing my notes after the class. I don't ever do that. And then I complain to myself I don't remember it.
I love it.
Within 24 hours. The scientists say that's a very good thing to do.
A great thing to do. I would carve out, each one of you, if you can, carve out 2 hours each time we do this. Because then you can review the notes, you can take actions, just put on your calendar for 2 hours every time. So thank you, Dottie, for allowing me the space and reminding me to say that. Great thing to do. Yes. And an act of loving kindness for yourself. Oh, I'm just going to do this so that I can remember and then I'll feel good. And it's like an upward spiral. Beautiful. Thank you. Mary Kay.
I've been experiencing some physical sensations that are shifting from what I observed at the beginning about having that file that no one has seen. And then I landed, my aha is I landed on a story that's not true, but I've been kind of been affecting everything I'm doing. And the story is, well, it's that if I create it, people will already be listening to it, but nobody has seen it. So I'm going to explore that. I don't know what's around it, but it's like, whoa, that's weird.
Love it. And I love the trusting the instinct about that. And that we were talking about earlier. And I love that there's a deep something about what's going on about listening. That is like, there's the next level of your company being born in the understanding of the articulation of something, the resurrecting of something, and then who's listening. And then that all has to do with our offer. That has to do with what we're putting out in the world. Yes. Thank you. What's your inspired action?
I'm going to get my new, copy to my VA tomorrow for my new website so that people have an opportunity to listen.
A very practical and real and fabulous action to follow up on this. It's like, oh, it's okay for people to listen. I've got my ideal listener. And so now it can make even something that's functional and really important in our companies and get it done because it's just like not attached to all these things. So that might or might not have been what's moving in you, but it reminds me. Let's me give one more teaching about another application of this training. Thank you so much. You guys freaking rock. I can't wait to see you for the deepest dive in story that we've ever, ever, ever done. You guys are ready. It's going to dovetail so beautifully with what we've been doing here. Thank you so much. You rock. I will see you next week. Go ahead and post on the Facebook page. Don't forget, it's there as a resource for you. And also, I'm not attached to whether you do it or not because it would cause me suffering. So, just wanted to remind you that you got that resource there. All right. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll see you real soon. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you.